Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Some of this is going to be generalization, but generally speaking, in the tradition of Zen, there are two basic systems of study. One, you're probably familiar with both of these, but one is Shikantaza, which is commonly referred to as just sitting, and the other is koan study. And koan study is usually associated with the Rinzai school of Zen, and Shikantaza associated with the Soto school of Zen. Now, the White Plum lineage, which we are part of and I'm a teacher in, is influenced by both Rinzai and Soto schools. So for this reason, there is some blending of the use of Shikantaza and koan study. But Shikantaza and koan study are both pathways to discovering our true selves. And frequently, students will start out learning to just sit over a period of years. And at a certain point when the student's sitting has deepened, and if they are temperamentally suited, the focus of practice will shift to the use of koans. Other students will stay with Shikantaza. Further, some students who have insights through just sitting may use koans later on to deepen or refine their understanding. Koans are usually studied under the guidance of a teacher. So with this as a backdrop, as a context, I'm going to talk about the koan mu, which is the first koan that most students start out with after they have been sitting for a few years. The koan itself is very simple and is found in a book of koans called the Mumen Kan. And the koan reads, "A monk asked Joshu, 'Does a dog have Buddha nature?' And Joshu answers, 'Mu,' which translated to English means no." In this regard, we know from our study of Zen that one of its basic teachings is that everything has Buddha nature. Nothing is left out. Yet Joshu answers no. When you hear Joshu answer no, what happens to you? What do you notice going on within yourself? The monk asks Joshu, "Does a dog have Buddha nature?" And this renowned Zen master says no. You find that you get confused with this answer, maybe anxious or annoyed, or perhaps think that these koans are stupid anyway. What is it that comes up? Does Joshu's response create in you some kind of dissonance or discomfort? Do you become uneasy? And there's a good likelihood that the answer to these questions is yes, because Joshu is asking us to move into unsure, unknown territory. And this unknown territory is what is referred to in the Zen literature as the barrier gate set up by our ancestral teachers. But there are two words there, barrier gate. So it is both a barrier, but it is also a gate. If mu causes confusion, anxiety, tension, disequilibrium, it is because we are seeking to understand the koan with our cognitive mind. That's the mind of this or that, yes or no. As Roshi John Tarrant says, we don't try to work out the koan the way we work out a software glitch or some problem with a bookkeeping system. That's because the mind that goes down this path becomes the barrier. So how do we transform the mind from a barrier into a gate? We must let the rug be pulled out from under us. We must surrender control. We must give up the self. As the commentary to the koan says, we must allow our body and mind to become a mass of doubt. And with our 360 bones and joints and our 84,000 hair follicles, concentrate on this one word, mu, day and night. Not looking for anything, just moo, waiting for the train, just moo, sitting in traffic, just moo, eating breakfast, just moo, sitting on your cushion on Sunday morning, just moo, doing kinhin, just move. Every free moment, just move, 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 move. Over and over again. As the commentary also says, it must be like gulping a hot iron ball that you can neither swallow or spit out. Also, our awakening can be sudden or gradual. In either case, it's just move. Sometimes awakening is like an incense stick in a dark cave, where even the glow of this one stick is enough to see something. Or it can be sudden, where Mu breaks open and the heavens are astonished and the earth is shaken. Neither experience is better or worse. They're just different. There's a famous Zen koan, Zen haiku, which reads, "Moon in a barrel. You never know just when the bottom will fall out." The bottom line is we must throw ourselves completely into this no, completely into this mu, become mu, with no separation of me and mu, just mu. There's a story about an occasion when Soen Roshi, a famous Japanese teacher, who Edo Roshi was the Dharma successor to, he was also the renowned haiku poet. He had tea with a renowned biblical scholar at the Zen Studies Society Zendo in New York City. And after some brief, informal chatting, Soen asked the scholar, "What were Christ's last words when he was dying on the cross?" And the scholar said, without hesitation, my God, why have you forsaken me?" To which Soen immediately responded, "No!" The scholar, somewhat perplexed, said, I'm sure that these were Christ's last words." And again, Soen responded sternly, saying, "No." Getting a bit agitated, the scholar said, "I have studied the Bible for most of my adult life, and I am absolutely sure that that's what Christ said." And then, standing up, Soen said, "No! What he said was, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" And that's the spirit to take up mu, not just mu, mu. You throw yourself entirely into it. Master Hung Chi Chen, a Chinese teacher, who invented the term silent illumination in his poem, The Song of Silent Illumination, said, "In silence, words are forgotten. In utter clarity, things appear. When we have no words, no ideas, no thoughts, we have a direct encounter with the way. When there is just mu, we have a direct encounter with the way." Thank you.